Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's like peeing in the bathtub.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Enjoy it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You're hearing on the other side of the line of scrimmage the defense calling out your plays?
Watch out for this, watch out for that.
Earlier on the show, NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell. Coming up, ESPN college football analyst Desmond Howard. WWE superstar The Miz. Plus, co-host of Peacock. Brother from another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're keeping an eye on the first round of the Masters. It is just great to see. It just feels so great seeing this golf course, seeing the Masters go off months late, but it's happening, and it's great. And not only that, but we're watching... As you know, when we talk football playoffs here, we don't talk about teams that are in the hunt. I don't know who does that. I don't know why all NFL media companies and games call it in the hunt. We call it sniffing it. Like you're sniffing the playoffs. You're sniffing it, right? Might be less professional, but it's maybe a little too colloquial for NFL broadcasts.
Ooh, big word alert.
But when you talk in the hunt, there's really only one proper phrase for in the hunt, and it is happening right now, and may not last very long. May not last very long. We hope it will. But right now, through seven holes of the 2020 Masters, Tiger Woods is in the hunt.
Oh, baby.
He is three under. He's two shots back of Lee Westwood and Webb Simpson, who have just been crushing it. Lee Westwood has made the turn at five under. And you just said Tiger, after birdieing the two par fives, 13 and 15, and then almost acing the par 3, 16, he's in position to birdie 17 right now, huh?
Yeah, he just hit his second shot to about 15 feet on 17. Just saw this stat.
He went off the back, by the way, in case anybody's wondering why we're talking about the holes on the backside of this golf course.
Just saw this stat. This is Tiger's 25th Masters. First time ever he's birdied 15 and 16 in the opening round.
Fantastic.
Oh, baby. Inject it into my veins.
Taka, 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 what, Joe?
Now, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. Other than right now, the executives at CBS Sports right now are lighting candles. They're lighting candles.
Oh, baby.
They're lighting candles.
Oh, baby.
They're whatever golf lords there are, they are praying directly to them. Directly to them. And, you know, CBS does not have a late – there are six late-window NFL games in Week 10. Six. There are more late games than early games. I think our buddy Andrew Siciliano, who is the host of Red Zone right in these parts of DirecTV, I think he said it's the first time in years that there's been more games in the late window than early windows.
Thank God, because the three-game late window is just brutal.
But there's six late games, and Tiger in the hunt.
Yeah.
And six games where teams are sniffing it. I mean, that's a lot of hunting and sniffing.
Guess what's winning the ratings on Sunday? If Tiger's in the hunt?
I don't know, bro.
No, you put Tiger against... Oh, no. He's got it.
That'll be a two-television situation.
Yeah. Multiple, picture in picture.
Multiple screens. Picture in picture. iPads.
I mean, come on.
I mean, if the Cowboys weren't on a bye, then obviously that would be the game with the highest rating.
By the way, also understand this. New Orleans is a late window game, and New Orleans watches football. It doesn't matter if they're 5 years old or 41-year-old. Judging by your body language, he missed the birdie
putt. He left it just short.
Okay. All right, so we're keeping an eye on all of that here on the Rich Eisen Show. And Desmond Howard is going to be joining us from Augusta National because ESPN – I guess with no patrons there, there's some extra room, and they're doing College Game Day there.
So cool.
And like I said, I mean, are they going to still allow millennials in there to hold up signs? Like,
I'm guessing not.
Is there somebody from like Georgia Tech wondering how do you spell Oosthuizen, you know, and hold up a sign? How many O's are in Oosthuizen?
What's the mascot of the Masters? That, you know.
Yeah, what head is Corso going to put on?
I don't know.
Like a tree or something?
Oh, my gosh.
There's still going to be that guy in there with the sign. Rudy was offsides, though.
Yeah.
So Desmond will be joining us. And I'll say this. I'm wondering what this is, who this is for you. If I had to rank the athletes who have given me the most pleasure and joy in my life, Desmond Howard has to be top five for me. Just in terms of
thinking about for you, so
pure
like
joy for me.
Jeter
would be up there.
Rivera.
A couple of Yankees would be up there. Yeah. It's tough to find a Jet right now.
maybe C-Web.
Charles Woodson. But just pure unadulterated joy for me. Desmond Howard is a top five for me.
It's a good one.
You know, that 4th-and-1 catch against Notre Dame, the Heisman pose against Ohio State.
Iconic.
I mean,
iconic, man.
Just somebody who you didn't see coming makes the most of their opportunity on behalf of your favorite team and then is the envy of everyone else. Like, that's the way and I know he didn't win at all. I get it. That's the way I'm assuming Chiefs fans feel about Mahomes, right? Mm. That was Desmond. Desmond is top five for me. Like, if you had told me in 1990 and 91 that I would have my own show and Desmond would call into it, it would just be that's it. That would be – I would not know what to do. I might actually start tearing up and cry. Like, that's who Desmond is for me. Who is that guy? It's like Ortiz on that list
Ortiz
for you, Brady.
For sure, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods,
Paul Pierce,
up there. I'm trying to think if there's like a. I mean, I loved watching Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi.
But like, really?
As
like
a, you put those kid, guys super, up there? Super into tennis when I was younger. But Brady, Ortiz, Tiger.
I didn't know
top
that.
For me.
I mean, I guess I kind of knew that. So when you covered the U.S. Open with Barkan, like that was like a big thing for you?
Oh, I loved it. It was so cool. I was so excited.
On USA, you were like an intern with USA or something like that?
Yeah, I did. I worked with Michael Barkan.
Who's just a great human on the planet.
Amazing human. That was one of the funnest times of my life.
What about for you? It'd be Emmett, right?
Emmett. I mean, the triplets, obviously. Just watching that era of football for us was great. It starts with Dr. J, though. For me.
Okay.
I was you know, way too young to fully.
Dwight Gooden would have to be on that list for you.
Every member of the 86 Mets is on that team. Allen Iverson recently, not even so much recently.
Right.
But, you know, Allen Iverson, just watching that guy play basketball, I loved every second of watching him. He was my guy.
And for you, it would be Rudy, right, Mike?
Yeah, Rudy starts with Rudy.
Starts
Montana,
with Rudy.
Number one. Not even a question. David Tyree.
But you say you're not even a Giants fan.
No,
when
I'm joking. I'm just joking.
Who are the guys? Stuff. So it would be
Rivera, definitely. The Yankees, Jeter, Rivera.
Mark Bavaro?
No, stop.
No.
Brown, Tim Brown,
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff, my
new
fan.
Yeah, your new,
He's busting my chops now. He's coming back at me. I am.
But Desmond's that guy for me.
I like that.
Desmond's one of those guys for me, man. If I had a list, people have just given me pure, unadulterated, off my couch, screaming joy. And he started playing the year I graduated, the year I covered the last Bo Schembechler team, my last year at the Michigan Daily in 89. He started, I think he was in that Rose Bowl that was fraudulently taken away. I know I sound like the current president right now, but, you know, when Bo's last game in the 89 Rose Bowl down to USC, Mr. 3 yards in a cloud of dust, called for a fake punt, and it worked, and it was called back on a stupid-ass holding penalty that not really exist. And so play the down over again. It made it even worse as Bo blew such a gasket throwing his headset. He almost fell ass over tea kettle, like literally almost had a be taken up off the ground. Another 15-yard penalty after that, and it was over. But Desmond played in that game. I remember he was starting to go vertical. I'm like, who is this kid? Who is he? And now he's Desmond Howard of College Game Day. He'll be joining us shortly from Augusta National. So also, we've been discussing the fact that this is the midway point of the NFL season. Again, I know it's week 10, but the Steelers are a perfect example. They played half their schedule. It's easy to tell because they're 8-0. There are some teams that are going to be playing their 10th game this week, but their bye weeks eventually will occur and everyone will catch up. Our poll question is, who's the MVP of the league right now through the first half of the season? And three of the candidates have only played 8 games. One of them has played 9, and that's Mahomes. And Chris, how do we shape up right now, top of hour number two?
It's pretty split among the top three. Ben Roethlisberger is at the bottom right now with 11%. But Aaron Rodgers, 24%, Patrick Mahomes, 30%, and 36% for Russell Wilson.
Mahomes is my guy before the season. And just to throw it out here, I've got the statistics of all four of these guys. Mahomes and Ben are tied in wins with 8. Although Mahomes, as you know, has gotten one more shot at it. Russ and A-Rod are both... A-Rod, pardon me. I wrote it down just like that way to make some room on my sheet here. Aaron Rodgers, 6-2. Russ has more touchdowns than anyone else. He's first in the league in touchdowns at 28. Mahomes is second in the league with 25. Rodgers is third in the league at 24. Ben has a mere 18. Interceptions. Russ has 8. Ben has 4. Rodgers has 2, and Mahomes leads the league with just one mere touchdown. He has 25 touchdowns, his one interception.
25-1 is so stupid.
Now, in terms of I didn't want to put total yards in terms of passing because, again, they haven't played the same number of games. So I chose yards per game in terms of passing.
Okay.
Russ is first in the league right now, 317.6 yards. Technically, Dak is first in the league, but I'm removing him because we all understand why. Mahomes is fourth in the league. He's just shy of 299 yards per game. Rodgers is ninth in the league, 281.6. Ben is 20th in the league, averaging just a little over 240 yards passing. Look, I know Ben's way out of these numbers. He's in the mix a little bit when it comes to completion percentage. Russ has completed 71% of his passes. That's good for third overall in the league.
Wow.
Rodgers is completed just 67.5. That's 14. Ben has completed 68% of his passes. That's 11th. Mahomes is 19th in the league, completing just under 67% of his passes. In terms of passer rating, if this means anything to you, number one is Rodgers at 117.5. Russ is 117.1. He's second. Mahomes is 115.9. He's third. And Big Ben is 101.8. He's 10th. If Ben wasn't 8-0, he wouldn't even be in this conversation.
Yeah, a lot of people are chiming in with Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Dalvin Cook should be in this mix as well.
I'm going with Mahomes. I'm sorry. He was my preseason. I'm going to stick with him.
I think when I look at this, just the list that we came up with, I think who is asked to do the most for their team to help them win each week and who has the less help? And I think for me, that's Aaron Rodgers so far. He's asked to do the most. He doesn't have as much help as some of these other guys in terms of skill at the weapon position. So Aaron Rodgers is my pick right now.
You know who's in terms of up there in some of the metrics on all of these, whose name I saw a lot? Justin Herbert. Just compiling all this earlier.
If they had some more wins, he'd be up there.
And here's another name. This is what we do on game day morning is we do the statistics and there's a silhouette of the player and you have to guess who that person is. Touchdown to interception ratio, 16-2. 16 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. 250 yards passing per game, that's 17th in the league. Completing 69.8% of his passes. Almost 7 out of every 10 pass attempts are completions. That's 5th in the league. And his passer rating is 110 on the nose. That's fifth in the league.
Ooh.
You want to take a guess who that is? Take a guess.
I thought you were talking about Justin Herbert.
It is not Drew Brees. It is not Justin Herbert. I'll give you a hint.
It's not Gilbert Grape.
His team is 5-3. There's your hint. There's a bunch of 5-3 teams out there. His team is 5-3. This quarterback.
Derek Carr.
Is Derek Carr. This quarterback who is not throwing picks. Ooh. Who is completing more than less, way more than less, and has a rating that means, put it all together, again, I don't have that slide rule. It's Derek Carr, man.
Mm.
He is balling out for the Raiders.
After all that discussion in the offseason, should they get Tom Brady, they sign Marcus Mariota.
I know. And that Gruden's never happy with who he has.
Always looking at somebody else. Peterman is there.
He is playing his head off.
Good for him. I like him. Watching Hard Knocks, such a great
game. And, dude, the Raiders are hosting Denver, who they should beat. I know that's always a dangerous thing to say in the NFL. They could be 6-3. 6-3 going into their Sunday nighter against the Chiefs to try and sweep them.
Whew.
I told you, I love Jacobs. I love Waller. I love Crosby. I love Abram. They have got players, man. And if Carr, didn't I say this like week three after they beat the Saints? They could be a problem. If Carr is efficient, doesn't make mistakes, right. And that is the way he is playing. And the stats prove it.
I mean, they got.
And they've got some winnable games.
Winnable games down the stretch. Ten wins looks like definitely in sight.
As always, sneaking up on you. Lost amongst the Tua v. Herbert this week, and then Tua v. Burrow in 2 weeks, and then, or in 3 weeks, and then Tua v. Mahomes. Week 16, man, Tua and the Raiders. That could be for a 7 seed. That could be for a lot.
Yeah, big tiebreaker implication there.
And in terms of that, just let's put this up, Don, before we go to break here. And I love doing this at the midway point of the season. I love it. Take a look at the playoff matchups right now. Let's just do it. Snapshot. If the season ended today, and we don't want it to, clearly. Look at that.
Oof.
The Steelers and the Saints are your one seeds. Who's up for Chiefs and Dolphins? Who's up for Tua going to Arrowhead? Who's up for the rematch of the Raiders and Bills, which was an entertaining game earlier this year? And Ravens-Titans, rematch of last year. This is why the Ravens got all those defensive linemen. And then in the NFC, who's up for Seahawks-Rams Part 3? Who's up for Kyler Murray in Lambeau? And who's up for Bucks and the Eagles? Well, the Bucks would be. That's why I told you don't sleep on Tampa. Tampa's a 5 seed. They're going to go visit whoever wins the NFC East. And I'm assuming we'll go in. The Eagles will bust out those dog masks again because they'll be home dogs again. But I love this sort of stuff. Halfway point. So much can change, clearly, with a 7 seed and so many other teams sniffing it. But
less is always more, but I have come around on the 7th
playoff
team.
Well, when you're talking about Tua, maybe making it as a Dolphin?
Yeah.
Or the Browns?
I've come around.
Let's take a break so we can be on time for our friend Desmond Howard from Augusta National. Your phone calls as well here on the Rich Eisen Show. Greg Roman is talking about what Lamar Jackson talked about here. He's the offensive coordinator of the Ravens. That's also still to come this hour. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Ravens and Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Again, Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator of the Ravens, has been asked about what Lamar Jackson said here on this show yesterday. I have not seen the response yet, but we will get to that later on in this hour. In a matter of moments, when our radio audience returns, Desmond Howard will be joining us from Augusta National, which is a home of not just the Masters, but and ESPN's coverage of it that is on the air right now and will be on tomorrow as well. But College game day coming your way from Augusta National. Wonder what that's going to look like. That's all coming up. Our radio audience is mere seconds away. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Who's the MVP of the season right now? Vote for it. It's at Rich Eisen Show. It's Mahomes. It's Russ. It's Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger. The choices, if you think we missed your favorite player, dial us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. As we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock, right here back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, and joining me right now is a man who was an MVP of the Super Bowl back in the day and also a Heisman Trophy winner and one of my favorites, part of College Game Day, which will emanate this Saturday from Augusta National. He is Desmond Howard. How are you, Des?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing fine. First things first is how are you feeling? You had COVID-19, I know, and you stepped away for a couple weeks. How are you feeling?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. I do appreciate that. I'm feeling better now, feeling stronger. Just still got to take it easy because this is a very tricky and unpredictable virus, but I'm feeling much better and definitely stronger now. So thanks. I appreciate that.
Of course. How, can I ask how it affected you, Des?
Oh yeah. Well, my symptoms were I had that scratchy throat feeling, the way you try to cough, like you're clearing your throat, that very annoying cough where it's it starts to irritate you a lot. So I had that scratchy throat cough, and then I had body aches, especially my upper body, and I had sinus pressure too, bad sinus pressure, like in my forehead area around my eyes. And then a week later, I lost my sense of smell and taste, which I haven't, gotten them back fully yet. So those are my symptoms.
No kidding. Well, but you are on the mend, and obviously you're back at your job this week. What is it like at Augusta? Have you ever been there before? Is this your first time at Augusta National?
I've never been here before. Obviously I've seen the tournament, the Masters and everything. And a lot of, when you're in this industry, you're going to run across a lot of people who love golf. Yes. And so very familiar with it and what it means to golf. And then we've had like golfers, professional golfers as celebrity guest pickers too. Yes. On the show. And so this is really something. I guess the only thing I could possibly equate it to as far as like college football is probably like similar to going out to Pasadena and seeing the Rose Bowl for the first time, because it's just such a special venue. I think that's what the being at the Masters is for me.
So, yeah, I was actually at the top of this show talking about the Rose Bowl. One of the first times I ever saw you play was at the Rose Bowl in the 89 season. I don't know if you were out there for the regular season game against UCLA that led to what was Bo Schembechler's final game. I know you played in that one, Des. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
That was your first Rose Bowl experience, Des?
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, because we've been to several, but that was like the first one to play in. And, that was amazing. I mean, when you go out, that means the pageantry, the lawn is just like perfect. The mountains behind the stadium. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. I tell anyone, I said, if you're a real avid college football fan, you love college football, going to the Rose Bowl has to be on your bucket list.
There's no doubt about it. It's so beautiful. All right, so let's get to the current state of affairs in college football. Here in the NFL, we're still trying to figure out who the best is, but we've been able to get most of the season in, thank goodness, with nobody canceled. But now how do I make heads or tails of this college football season right now? Desmond?
Oh, brother, listen, my man, it's a challenge. It really is, because there's a bunch of moving parts, a bunch of games being either postponed or canceled. So this is a work in progress. No one knows exactly how you're going to determine who the best teams are now, based on the eye test.
Yes,
which you know is. Yeah, I think, you know, is very useful at this point. I mean, it's relevant at this point. You know, you would look at Alabama. They've been pretty dominant. You look at the Buckeyes, you know, those games that they've played so far, they've been pretty dominant. You know, you have a Clemson. I mean, Clemson is still a dominant team. Okay, they lost to Notre Dame. That just makes a lot of us look at Notre Dame a little differently. And obviously, they beat Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. But yet and still, I mean, they scored a lot of points on that Brent Venables defense. I mean, people are not, like, giving that the amount of credit that Notre Dame deserves. And to be honest with you, Rich, Notre Dame should have scored more points on Clemson's defense. But they got in the red zone several times, settled for field goals, and then one time, Ian Book, the quarterback, I mean, he's, like, about to go into the end zone. He just fumbles the ball. Well, I don't say he just fumbled it. He was like Brent Venables' son, who plays linebacker. His son did, like, you know, attempt to tackle Ian Book. And on his attempt at tackling Ian Book, he got the ball out. But still, I mean, I think this is like inside, like, maybe the 10-yard line. So there are many more opportunities for Notre Dame to score touchdowns that they didn't take advantage of. So I understand that Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's supposed to be the number one pick in the draft and all that good stuff, and he didn't play. But they really did a number on Clemson's defense, and I don't think they get enough credit for the job that they did, Rich.
They sure did. I agree with you. You know, you got to play who's in front of you, and Clemson came in, obviously, without Trevor Lawrence, but everyone else was pretty much loaded for bear there. And I'm assuming we'll see them again in the AFC ACC championship game, and then we'll just determine whether we want to run it back one more time in a college football playoff. Because I'm looking around and I'm trying to see who might raise their hand and say, even in this COVID-19 season, they deserve a shot. I don't know who else is out there, Dez. How do you handicap that right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I would say, now, up to this point in the season, some of the best teams, or some of the teams that I've seen is playing the best football. Okay, we already mentioned Clemson. We already mentioned Alabama. We already mentioned the Buckeyes and Notre Dame, okay? But then you kind of go off the grid, very, very impressed by the BYU Cougars. They got this quarterback, Zach Wilson, who's having a fantastic season. They're very physical, and they've been impressive from day one, and they've been extremely consistent. So the BYU is a team that I like, too. And then Cincinnati Bearcats. When you want to look at a group of five team, they got this quarterback, Desmond Ridder. He's playing at a high level every week, but they have a defense. Man, their defense is for real. Like they shut down, like, SMU, which was a high-scoring defense. They shut down Memphis, another high-scoring defense. And so, like, those are two outliers when you look at BYU and you look at the Cincinnati Bearcats that people are starting to really pay attention to. And to be honest with you, Rich, before the season started, we always predict who's going to be in the college football playoff. And one of my four teams was the Cincinnati Bearcats. The only reason I took them out, because they were originally in, because at this point, the Big Ten had decided they were not going to play. So we're not talking about, you know, any team in the Big Ten. So we eliminate the Big Ten. So I said, okay, well, I'm putting Cincinnati in there. So then when they did a 180, they being the Big Ten, and decided that they were going to have a season, I said, okay, well, I have to remove Cincinnati and put in Ohio State.
Well, I mean, and I spoke about, I guess, what I'm about to ask you with Mike Tirico earlier this week, and I know it might be total fantasy, but I might let's play it out here, because we did see Major League Baseball play in a pandemic and decide to expand their playoffs because of the truncated regular season. We already saw the NFL just this past week at their owners' meeting, just in case COVID-19 starts canceling games, that they will expand the playoffs, literally making this decision that right now we know it's 1-7, in each conference, but it might be 1-8 if they have to go in this direction. We're already seeing so many canceled games week to week in college football. Why not come out and say, this year, one time only, just it's a one time only situation, let's expand the playoffs so BYU and Cincinnati can make it, and let's play it out and see how it goes. I know that that presents its own issues in terms of competition and also the pandemic, but what do you think of that idea, Desmond?
I mean, I love giving the underdogs a legitimate shot at playing in the championship game, you know, play, at least playing in the playoff. I love that opportunity, you know, that as an option, you know, but there's just so much that goes into it that, you know, we have to look at the logistics of everything and how, you know, how much would this extend the season and what would this mean to the student athletes? Like, they always have to take those things into consideration. But I would love to have a situation where you have maybe Cincinnati versus BYU as a play-in game where whoever wins, you know, they get to play into the playoff and have another two teams, have four teams do a playoff game, a play-in game. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. But like I said, you get these student athletes. How much does this extend the season and all that stuff?
Desmond Howard joining me here from Augusta National on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, Des, we're going to stroll into that third rail territory, if you don't mind. Because I get it, and I didn't win a Heisman Trophy for the school. I get it a ton. What about our alma mater? What is happening there now, and what is the answer, do you think, Desmond Howard?
Yeah, that's
I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so tough to talk about it, but, you know, we'll chop it up best we can.
The thing is, because you look at at Harbaugh and his tenure so far, and like on the surface, like there's a lot to unpack. I guess that's the best way to say it, Rich. There's a lot to unpack there, and but on the surface, he hasn't been able to hit on a quarterback, and I think that's been his biggest issue. Like, he hasn't been able to hit on the quarterback. Any of these teams that we see in college football, who we're talking about, they're good enough to get to, like, champ, you know, even the college football playoff, or they all got great to elite quarterbacks. Okay. He hasn't been able to hit on one. Now, Joe Milton, you know, I've heard fantastic things about him. I think the last game against Indiana was the first time that I saw glimpses of what Joe Milton can be and what the offense can be, for the simple fact that they decided to go vertical. They had some vertical shots that they hit. He had one to Ronnie Bell that he missed. That was an easy walk-in touchdown. But this is the first time I saw them start to really stretch the field. You know, the week before when they played Sparty, they just, you know, a bunch of slants and quick outs and drag routes, but nothing really, really vertical. But against Indiana, now I said, okay, now I see where Joe Milton's arm comes into play, you know, and how these receivers they got. They're not the big ones that we've had for like the last 3, 4, 5 years, but they're vertical guys. They're fast guys. They're speed guys. So now I can see that potential, even though they lost. The other thing, Rich, is, and I said this on the show, I do believe as much as we all love Don Brown, people, I mean, I'm not talking about we all like Michigan fans and yes, alumni. I'm talking about like college football fans, like analysts, like Don Brown is a highly regarded defensive coordinator. I think that he's playing a scheme that he just doesn't have the personnel to run, though. I mean, these defensive backs, these cornerbacks are getting exposed. And, you know, that normally would happen, Rich, maybe later in the season, you know, maybe against Ohio State, or maybe, you know, when Penn State, they had like a Hamler. So normally that's when it would happen. But like to see it this early and this often, I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of alarming. And I don't know what that answer is. You know, can they play zone? Can these guys, you know, the first time, like, okay, maybe this guy just had a bad game. But then you look at Indiana. Indiana looked at that film. They said, yeah, we're going to take shots down the field, you know, and we're going to see what they can do. So that's the second part. You know, that defense, they've given up a lot of points in big games. And that's been the difference maker, too. And so I don't know. Those are like the two things on the surface. Like I said, there's a lot to unpack there. But when I look at X's and O's and just look at the team, mm-hmm. I mean, Ty Law and Charles Woodson, they're not walking through that door, you know. So I don't know what the answer is defensively, where they're going to be able to, you know, run the scheme that Don wants to run and have some sort of success. And then Hutchinson is out. You know, Hutchinson, we don't know how long he's going to be out. They say he has a fractured ankle or something like that. I don't know if he's out for the season or whatnot. So that's not going to help their pass rush either.
Well, and you want to talk about big games. Wisconsin coming out of COVID hell, there's no other way to describe it, walking into the Big House this weekend. And I heard Jim say afterwards, I heard Harbaugh say after the Indiana game that there's a lot to take out of it to be positive about, which is, you know, difficult to you know, hear and comprehend when they've just lost to an opponent for the first time since my sophomore year at college, I think before you even showed up in Ann Arbor in 1987. But, you know, but now here comes Wisconsin that I think wants to say, okay, here we go. What better way to let everyone understand that even in this crazy shortened season, it's not just Ohio State, and we need to take this side of the ledger so we can take on Ohio State in that last game of the year and reserve a seat for them in the college football playoff. This is a big game for Wisconsin coming up this weekend on Saturday night.
Huge game. Huge game. You know, you're absolutely right. It's a huge game for Wisconsin. We don't know what to expect. You know, they've missed a couple of weeks now because of the COVID-19 and contact tracing, and we don't know. They haven't played in a while, so the quarterback, you know, he was the one who had the positive test, and he wasn't the only one. He was the first name that you heard, but then they had multiple players with positive tests, and that's why they had to quarantine for. I guess I don't even know if it's been 21 days. That's the Big Ten rule is you have to quarantine at least the player or players who test positive have to quarantine for 21 days. And I guess I don't know if it's 21 days after the positive test or 21 days starting where your symptoms began. Whatever, you know, I'm not even sure about that language. But we'll see who lines up at quarterback and, you know, who they bring out there on the field. It's going to be really interesting because we really don't know.
Oh, my gosh, Dez.
I know, Rich.
I kind of my texts blow up from, you know, the Ohio State fans that I know and friends about the school up north. And the reveling, it's tough for me to take, man. It's tough to handle right now.
It's tough. Hey, imagine being in my shoes. You got to sit there and talk about it.
No, I do. I am. I come here every day, and the people call me up. And, you know, and I want it to work out for Harbaugh being there so bad. He's my guy. He's my quarterback. He's my freshman year quarterback. He's the guy who – and the kids who come in are very talented. It's not like the cupboard's totally bare. You know what I mean? It's
a
lot to unpack, as you put it. So – before I let you go, what is Saturday's show going to look like? Walk me through what College Game Day at Augusta National is going to look like.
Des? It's going to be a good mix of what we always do, but some mixture of the Masters of golf, you know, and you know we'll probably have some players, you know, depending on their tee time. Do interviews.
Cool.
Because the thing about it is these guys, a lot of them, they have some sort of affiliation with a college football team and they love college football. So they're, you know, this is an opportunity for them to show another side of their personality. You know, that's not just, you know, golf. It gives them opportunity to just kind of like relax. Cause imagine you playing, you know, Masters on a Saturday and, you know, the tension and everything, but you know, now you get a chance to like talk college football and let your personality come out and relax. So there'll be a good mixture of blending in, you know, some of the golfers who are teeing off or who are playing during the hours that we're on air. So it should be fun. It should be nice. It should be great for our audience to see those personalities and for obviously the Masters audience to see us.
So does Corso have like a Tiger Woods head to put on or something like that? Are we going to see something like that? What do you got for me on the Corso front for Saturday?
Man, I don't know what that that dude is doing down there in Orlando? There's no telling what he's cooking up. That's a good question. I'm anxious to see what he's cooking up down there too. So yeah. we'll see Saturday, because I don't know what he got planned.
He's probably Tiger's neighbor. He's probably got, you know, he probably goes to a cup of sugar and asks for, you know, Ken Griffey for a cup of sugar. You know, knowing him, you know.
You're probably right.
Hey, Dez, it's great to hear you and great to hear you laugh. And I'm so glad that COVID-19, that you're getting through, it best you can, and as well as you are back on. I can't wait to see you back on TV.
No, thank you. I really appreciate that. Thanks for having me on your show, my man. Keep up the great work.
Always. Please. Right back at you. That's Desmond Howard, one of my all-time favorites. We don't want to touch the third rail. We just don't.
I know.
It's not time yet. It's, even though I know everyone thinks it's going down the drain.
It's close.
Here comes Joe Milton. Let's beat the Badgers. Let's beat the Buckeyes. Let's see what we can do here. Take out Penn State like everybody else is doing.
Whoa.
I'm serious. Like, this is, I'm not done with this yet.
I know. 0-3.
By the way, I'm also getting my armor ready, because as soon as I'm done with this show, I'm recording an episode of Pardon My Take, and I am fully
ready
for what Big Cat is going to throw my way.
Wow.
I'm fully prepared to have to own the 1-2 start of Michigan.
Can we workshop a wager between you two? Because he's Wisconsin, of course.
I don't know. These things, you know, they don't care. They'll leave it on the shelf for a week because they've got, you know, I have no idea when this thing's going to air.
No.
I don't know what's going to post.
I mean, imagine if you're coming on, it's because to help preview that matchup.
Maybe. Preview. What's the preview?
It's a big game for you guys.
Rich doesn't have good luck betting against Wisconsin.
I'm not
people.
Betting.
He's going to end up with another mug on his desk.
I am not. I am prideful. I love my school. I love my coach. I love all of it. Okay? I'm not pleased with everything that's going on. It is patently disappointing. I hate being the butt of people's texts and jokes and all of it. It stinks on ice. I don't like it. But I'm not going to avoid. I'm not going to hide.
Well, that's very noble of you.
I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to. But one thing I am also definitely not going to do is wager. That ain't happening. I'm a prideful guy, and I have belief, and I'm excited, and I hope it works out. But I am not going to put on a friggin' Bucky Badger hat. Or I'm going to do that when I have no earthly idea what Wisconsin's going to look like or my team. They're up and down. They're a bunch of 18 to 21-year-old kids playing in a pandemic in front of an empty stadium. It's got to be freaking them out to walk in the Big House and see nobody but their smattering of family and friends there. And you, I get, use it, say I'm making an excuse. I don't care. I do care. I do care. But I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to say, no, I'm not going to accept the invitation of Big Cat and...
I get it.
You know, PFT,
I get it. I'm just
because
saying,
I'm,
get
afraid
ready.
To, I'm afraid
you
what
know.
He's going to cook up. I'm sure he's got 15 snarky ways to ask me the same question as to why Michigan sucks. I'm ready. I'm not going to avoid it.
Well, you got to fight back.
I'm not going to fight back. I'm going to answer the questions to the best of my ability and tell him he sucks too.
There you go.
Is that all right?
Unhinged Eisen.
Unhinged Eisen.
Coming
up, let's take a break. When we come back, a Tiger Woods update in the first round of Augusta and the Masters. And Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator of the Ravens, has responded to what Lamar Jackson said here yesterday.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, The Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 1989 earthquake World Series.
series that rocked the Bay Bridge and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, the Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Hey, man, I hope Wisconsin comes out and plays great. And I know, you know, I'm not doing this to also reverse jinx it, too. These kids have been living. Can you imagine the COVID hell that they must have been living in? It really is. There's even a conversation. I think DP said there, you know, one of his sources said they were thinking of just canceling the whole season and turning Camp Randall into a field hospital. That's how bad things are in the state of Wisconsin. And this is a big one for him, man. I mean, Michigan hosting Wisconsin should not be the normal construct of it. Is not, let's do it in the middle of a pandemic after two canceled games for a COVID ravaged team. Clearly. So I don't know what to make of all of that. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take some phone calls in just a matter of seconds. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the radio and television simulcast. Let's take this phone call right here on the program. Let me get my glasses on so I could make sure. Bryson in Tennessee has been hanging on for a while. What's up, Bryson?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
Well, I saw your interview with Drew Brees the other day, and you know, you asked him about his future in the NFL.
Yes.
I personally think he's done after this year because of the deal I think he has with NBC Sports.
What's coming down the pike, yep.
But I want to get your thoughts on this possibility with the Saints. You ready for this?
Go for it.
Do you think the Saints would be more likely to go with Jameis and Taysom Hill moving forward or go after Dak in free agency if the Cowboys don't give him a long-term deal?
Well, I don't think Dak will ever hit free agency on this green earth. You know, and I think you're hitting on a very important subject as to how it plays out with Dak and Dallas. Personally, I think the plan is, you know, Jameis and Taysom Hill is going to be, you know, the manner in which they replace Drew Brees. And Jameis is sitting there right now and seeing how it all goes down. And obviously, he is a different quarterback from Drew Brees in virtually every possibility. From height to risk-taking, risk-averse, and all of that. But I think the question is what does Dallas do with Dak? And what's going to end up happening is they're going to have to make a decision on Dak, having seen him, obviously, going through workouts, but without seeing a single thing about what's going on the field. They're going to have to make that decision, and both sides are going to have to figure out what the long-term contract is or franchise him one more time. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I don't think Dak hits the open market.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. That's going to be interesting down the line. I guess we can talk about it midway through the season as well, is quarterback scenarios to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
The Jets quarterback scenario, the quarterback scenario also with the Chicago Bears, that quarterback scenario. Because Nick Foles does not appear to be the long-term solution, what they had maybe hoped for. I know there's 8 more weeks left in the NFL season. What they hoped for, that Nick Foles would come in and run this offense that Matt Nagy ran 2 years ago and brought with him from Kansas City to perfection and looking like the efficient and successful deep threat, RPO threat quarterback that he was for the Philadelphia Eagles, and making every throw and looking terrific. And, you know, December, January, Philadelphia Nick Foles has not shown up enough so far. So that's a quarterback situation that Bears looking at. Obviously, New Orleans is about what happens with Drew Brees. That's something. Could Atlanta's quarterback situation be something that you look at? Indianapolis what's their quarterback situation with Phillip Rivers maybe being one and done there.
Detroit's
an interesting one. San Francisco's is one that lurks all the time. Washington's, New England's. The Giants, if they don't perform well enough, and that's way off the reservation. Yeah. I think it's a Daniel Jones world, and we're just living in it.
Danny Dimes.
Pardon me. Tons of quarterback scenarios, and there's no way that Dallas is just going to let Dak be on the open market.
No chance.
I take them at their word that he's the guy for the future, and they're not just saying that because he's all banged up, convalescing right now, and the last thing that the Cowboys want to do is put any sort of question mark in the water, because what the hell else are they going to do? Seriously, where else are they going to go?
Flip that. I think it's more apt that Jerry Jones goes after Sean Payton.
We've been talking about that for years. That ain't happening.
Drew Brees retires.
That ain't happening.
Well, guys, you remember when
that is not
the
happening.
Tuna was still there. Peyton was on their staff, and the word was that they were grooming Peyton.
Oh, my gosh. The Peyton rumors to Dallas because he was a Parcells guy, and then he's, you know, living in the Gulf South but also has a place in Dallas, and, you know. And then Dallas had an opportunity to maybe flip New Orleans, whatever the hell they needed, to get him out of there if that's what they wanted, and they stuck with Jason Garrett for several more years.
I just think if you're Sean Payton and Drew Brees retires, are you going to hitch your wagon to Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston or Dak Prescott?
Well, I mean, I don't think Dak is going to be available for even that to be a conversation.
No, I mean, he means Payton going to Dallas.
Right. He's not going to Dallas. Dak's not going anywhere but Dallas. I'm telling you guys, take that to whatever bank you want, whatever football bank you want.
I mean, if Dallas throws New Orleans a first-round pick, I think he's going.
But why would Sean Payton, just because why? Because he wants to go to Dallas?
Because Drew Brees retires and he can go to Dallas and coach a better quarterback.
But he's just like any other competitive SOB, like to the ultimate degree. Don't you think he wants to say, I'm still here, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm going to do it with somebody else?
Maybe. I wouldn't do that if I was him.
So again, can you replay one more time, Don Bowie? This is what Lamar Jackson had to say here yesterday. I mean, it was just an open-ended question that I really was curious about, that I think, you know, asks, the kind of hits upon what the Ravens season is so far. 6-2. He is still a revelation at the position, but it just doesn't look like it's coming as easy points production as last year. This is the exchange. It just, from the eye test, it looks like things aren't coming as easy for you this year. Is that a safe way to look at it? That things aren't?
I feel, it's a lot of with schemes. You know, we're going against defenses. They calling out our plays, stuff like that. Like, they know what we're doing, so a lot of that, you know, sometimes, you know, stuff won't go our way if they beat us to the punch.
So you're hearing on the other side of the line of scrimmage the defense calling out your plays?
They definitely do. Like, runs, stuff like that. Watch out for this, watch out for that. Sometimes that's what's going on.
So how do you combat that, Lamar?
So I guess we're going to halftime and let Coach, you know, let us know what he sees upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we just go from there.
Said coach upstairs is Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, who was asked about this today, and I'll read his response. Quote, with no fans in the stands, bands or music playing, you can hear a lot right about now. Some of it I can't repeat. Lamar is one of the great competitors I know. I define him as a winner, and he only wants to win every game, every play, game, practice. That's what drives him. He definitely gives me feedback on when people are calling something out and whatnot. That's definitely something we talk about. Calling out plays on a defense is nothing new. I can talk about Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. Every play they're trying to guess what play you're going to run based on what they're seeing. That's a chess match. End quote. Nothing new. It happens. It happens quite a bit. Stadiums are empty. You're hearing a lot right now. And
Belichick shuts him down, though.
Then there'll be more of a question about this sort of thing?
I think so, yeah.
You heard, again, Greg Cosell is hard-bitten, all 22 response. He said that the pass game is remedial right now and that needs to be improved. get people guessing a little bit more on the pass, and then maybe they'll stop thinking runs coming more often than not and calling it out. 6-2, though. They are 6-2, and they're still my team to beat in the AFC. I'm going to stick with that. Not jumping off that train just yet. But it is something to keep in mind as Belichick's coming to town. Or they're going to Belichick's town. All right. That was fun with Desmond Howard. The Miz, Michael Smith, and you. News update, Chris Brockman's news update coming up in hour number 3 right here on The Rich Eisen Show on Peacock and more.